Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Just reserve, you know, your opinions.
That's a wonderful time for us to jump in and say goodbye and then ask for some phone calls from people who watch the game.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Shotgun snap to Daniels, blitzes on, throws an arching spiral pass into the end zone, and it was caught by McLaurin. Touchdown! Oh, what a catch!
And we say a perfect throw beats perfect coverage.
NFL Network analyst.
We have a British telephone booth right here, Kurt. You're calling the game with me next week, but go on up, and who are you making a call to today?
Trevor Lawrence. Hi, you handsome bloke. Now, here's what I need. Stop listening to all the poppycock. And what I want you to know is that we still all believe in you.
Well done. Except yeah, that sounded very Irish.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's part of the UK. I'll accept it. It's totally fine. This segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Kurt, as always, we appreciate you joining us.
You got it. We're trying to do a serious football show here, though, so I don't know if you should be playing all that stuff before I come on air. That's not quite what I want to be introed with.
Well, Kurt, we like to loosen up the audience with giggles and then hit them with the good, firm baseball or football jab. Excuse me.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Exposed. I was exposed right there. Kurt Warner, thank you so much. Look, that was a nice Bears win. It was the template and formula that a lot of us sort of expected. We finally kind of saw it in week four. Curious what you thought of Caleb Williams' execution of the game plan from yesterday.
I'm seeing a lot of the same sort of stuff from Caleb. I just not quite comfortable yet. Missing throws that we've seen him make a bunch of times. And I still not where I'd like to see him, a lot of the time. Now, still making throws when he gets to his first guy. So when however it plays out, if it's the first read or the first guy that he looks to and he's comfortable with that guy, he's making the throws. And that's kind of been the case throughout. And when he doesn't, is when he struggles or when his first guy's not open and he's got to work through it or, not seeing coverage and not getting his eyes to the right spot is where he's struggling. And so, and that's kind of, at this point, you just kind of hope that each game you're seeing a little more of that, being able to pick up rotation, being able to get from one to two in a timely fashion, understand what's going to take him there. And then being able to make some of those plays when it's not his first guy, you know, or some of those throws down the field that just, they're just coming out too flat. Like it's almost like he's not comfortable with what he's seeing. So he's just yanking the ball out of there when he sees somebody open instead of just throwing it and being the talented thrower of the football that we've seen. You know, you guys watch it. There's just, you know, some throws that I know he can make and he's missing them right now. And I just have to believe it's because he's just not comfortable with what he's seeing. So he can just relax and play and throw.
Kurt, where was the point where you felt comfortable? Because Mark Sanchez had mentioned this during the game yesterday, too, that it seems like there's still a little bit of Caleb needing to see it all the way before he trusts to throw it. When did the light kind of click on for you at the NFL level of, I can throw it and trust the guy's going to be there? Because on the other side of the field, you did see Stafford doing that, where guys weren't even out of their breaks and the ball was already on them.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is just what you're used to and also what you're good at. There's a lot of guys in this league that have to see it come open before they throw it. And, you know, again, I will continually go back to this idea of pure progression versus defender read, is that once a defender gives me a read, now I can anticipate and throw. You know, I can know where I'm going with the football. I can get there and let the ball go. If I've got to wait to see if a receiver gets open, you know, when he makes his break, is he open? That's going to automatically lend itself to being late in a lot of situations, unless it's like your first guy and you know he's going to be open right off the bat. Okay, now I can get the ball out. You know, and I think another thing that Caleb has never really had to play in that anticipatory type, you know, world. He's always been able to buy time. He's always played with, and, you know, I make this, you know, argument sometimes. You know, I've got a son that plays college football, and he's, you know, not playing at the Power Five level with some of these teams that are so talented across the board. And I've often wondered, you know, that sometimes when he's playing, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than playing with really talented guys across the board that are better than the guys on the other side. You know, when it's more evenly matched, I wonder if that forces a quarterback to learn those things and to ultimately be better in the long run, because you have to see it, you have to get it out on time, you have to anticipate all of those things. Whereas if you're playing at a USC with all the talent around them, where A, maybe you have more time in the pocket to, you know, to kind of sit back there and let things get open, your guys on the other end are going to be more open than they would be in other places. So you can be a little bit later with the ball and still have a lot of success. And I sometimes wonder if that ultimately can be a detriment to quarterbacks when they get to the next level and you got to play faster. You don't have time in the pocket and guys aren't going to be as open. It's, you know, it's not Alabama USC open. It's NFL open. And NFL open is, man, they got to step and you got to have the ball out and there, because if you're late, these guys in the secondary are going to close those windows. And so, you know, you just wonder about all this stuff, because when I was playing, I had to do that. I didn't have the ability, you know, matter whether I was playing or just my physical ability didn't allow me the chance to be late and to not anticipate. And so it's hard for me to kind of correlate, because I've never played the way these other guys have played. And I was forced earlier because of my skill set to learn those things. And if you didn't learn those things, then, you know, you weren't going to be playing, or I wasn't going to be playing at the highest level. So I think it's an unfair comparison based on who I was and how I had to play compared to these other guys. But I do believe that's a part of it. Really talented colleges, really talented quarterbacks that can create more time and they have the ability to throw the ball with more velocity. You get away with more when you're in those situations than you can at the NFL level. And I believe it hurts a lot of guys that that don't have that capability, especially in the early stages when they make the transition.
All right, Kurt Warner, you're killing my buzz. You're bumming me out a little bit.
Hey, you won. You won. I've always said one of the beautiful things about this league is when you can win and not play your best.
Sure.
That's part of it, is that you're not always going to be at your best. And so you're finding ways to win while your young quarterback is learning how to play the game.
Sure, so absolutely.
There's plenty of positives to take from it. You know, it's just we all want to see a finished product. We all want these young guys to, man, live up to their potential day one. And, you know, it's always going to be a comparison when we got C.J. Stroud and now we have Jaden Daniels playing at the level that they're playing at. You're like, why isn't everybody playing like that? Well, it's hard. It's not easy to do. And, you know, some guys may be a little bit further behind the curve because they, again, haven't been forced to play the game that particular way for a long time. And now they're learning how to do it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we want to ask you about Jaden Daniels. But before we get to it, when I'm watching that game yesterday, I'm seeing a guy accept checkdowns and take checkdowns effectively to have positive plays in ways that I don't think he necessarily did some of the time in earlier games.
Agreed.
Okay, good. And then he not turning the ball over, so we love that, obviously. And then the touchdown to DJ Moore, that's at least the second read, if not the third, going from left to right, an absolutely perfect ball in the back of the end zone. Why can't I feel good about those things, sir?
You can feel good about those things. You're right. I mean, that happened. You know, I said that, you know, a couple weeks ago, is that one of the biggest differences between Jaden and Caleb and even Bo was, you know, when they weren't sure what they were seeing, they were forcing the ball into tough positions and turning the ball over. Jaden, when he doesn't see it, he doesn't do that. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way and take those chances, and that's a big difference. So you're right. He didn't do that this past weekend. And yeah, there's always going to be times in games where he gets, you know, to a check down. He did that a couple times nicely. And you're right. The touchdown pass, that was awesome. He had like a choice route over to the left-hand side, and he came back to what we call a stump, which is just a stick pump on the other side, and laid it up and over. And again, that's the kind of throw I'm talking about. Nice touch throw up and over the top, not too much velocity where he's missing it. And he drops it in the back of the end zone to DJ for the touchdown. So I agree with you. And so when I say this, I'm not saying there's not anything on the tape that's good by Caleb Williams. It's just, I just know playing the position, you've got to do some of the things that I'm talking about more consistently to play at an extremely high level. But as I said, you've won a few games, you know, and so you're still in the mix while your quarterback's learning and your offense is coming together. And so it's always a positive.
Kurt, why was the Bears run game better yesterday?
You know, it's a hard one to, you know, to put your finger on. You know, they obviously did a better job up front. It's always nice when you can get a big run somewhere, right? To hit home runs. That's, you know, that's another thing that I always say, it's really hard in the NFL to make 10 and 12 play drives every time you step on the field. And the Bears haven't been real successful at making big plays this year. You know, in the pass game run, either one, they're not doing very well on those big pass plays. So now you're asking a young quarterback who's not quite ready yet to drive your team 12 plays every time and not make a mistake, or not somebody up front to make a mistake, or whatever that is. So yesterday they get the huge run from DeAndre. And so that, you know, those things are difference makers and change the complexion of games. They get a turnover that sets them up to get points. And so you're not turning the ball over. You're not giving the other team easy opportunities. And then you get a couple home runs in there, and now it changes everything for you. So I just thought they were more consistent up front and just having successful plays. Then they bust the big one. And you know, that's kind of the key when you're running the football, is it's not necessarily about getting a bunch of home runs. You'd love to get one in the course of a game, but are you winning those downs? And winning is really just 3 or 4 yards instead of having negative plays. And I thought they did a nice job of that yesterday.
Kurt, Jaden Daniels is completing 82% of his passes.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and he's obviously so good with his legs as well. And there's a special thing happening in Washington. And It, of course, makes Bears fans, some, say, did we take the wrong guy? So is Jaden Daniels being asked to do the same things that Caleb Williams is being asked to do, to your eyes?
Maybe even more in certain situations. And here's the first part of the equation. If we went back and looked at tape of these two guys last year, Jaden Daniels was the better quarterback in college across the board, doing what you knew you had to do in the NFL. He was the better quarterback last year on tape. It's why he won the Heisman. He was the best player in college football. So when you're drafting, if you're drafting Caleb Williams because you said he was the best quarterback in college last year, then you missed. If you're drafting Caleb Williams because you say he's one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in college, he's got greater potential, and even though he may be further away and it may take a little bit longer to get there, we believe the upside at the end of the day is more with Caleb than it is Jaden, then that one makes sense. And so now we're seeing that. Jaden a little bit more prepared because of how he played and how they asked him to play than Caleb. So he's ahead of the curve right now. Now you have to hope, if you're the Bears, what you saw in that potential that you felt was with Caleb Williams is all going to show itself when he gets up to speed with Jaden. So that's the first part of this equation. Okay, Jaden's playing really good football. And you look at the completion percentage, you mentioned it, and there's a couple factors. Like, they're doing a great job. Cliff Kingsbury's doing a great job that his first guy has been open quite often. So as we talked about with Caleb, when his first guy and the first guy he's looking at is open, he's completing a lot of those passes too. So that's the first part of the equation. He is processing and he's not panicking in situations in the pocket. So when he does have to move through his progressions at times, he's comfortable with that and he's making plays that way. And then the third part of the equation on why he's completing such a high clip of his passes, if you go back and watch him play, he rarely throws the ball away and he rarely throws the ball into trouble. So where, as I mentioned, those other two rookie quarterbacks, when they're not sure what they're seeing, they're still trying to make throws and force the ball down the field. Jaden Daniels is not doing that. When he's not comfortable and doesn't know what he's seeing, because there's plenty of times he doesn't know what he's seeing and he's missing things that are in front of him. But when that happens, he's still making positive plays, whether that's completing a check down or just tucking the ball down and running for 3 or 4 yards, you know, or making a play around the edge. And so there's not that trying to force a ball, you know, into coverage or down the field that is going to lead to an incompletion there. It's, hey, I'll tuck it in and I'll go make a 3 or 4 yard play and I'll make a positive play and I'll keep us ahead of the chains and we'll win that way. And it's leading to high completion percentage because he's playing well, the system is working well for him, and that third facet where, again, a lot of guys that don't have his athleticism would be forced to have to make throws or to just throw the ball away when they're not seeing it or take sacks. And he doesn't have to do that because he's very, very effective when he bides a little bit of time and he gets out on the edge.
What I've enjoyed about watching Jaden Daniels is that even with a little bit of like the horizontal nature of what they're trying to do offensively, when he's been asked to make a throw vertically, his toughness in the pocket, his anticipation and his touch on the throws, I think it's just been incredible. And I love seeing that from a young quarterback. That throw to McLaurin last Monday night, my God. Like, I'm a Jaden Daniels guy, and I have been since he got to Arizona State. Seeing him make that throw in that moment, to me, I thought was amazing, and I think feel like it can do something big for someone's confidence as they're starting out.
Yeah, it's talking about knowing how to throw a football. When you watch Jaden Daniels play, I don't know if you're ever going to say, man, it looks like he's throwing the ball hard. Oh, it looks like it's coming off his hand as a fastball. No, everything, and I always use this term that I always say, I like when a quarterback throws it, that the ball's always firm, but it's soft, you know, and, you know, my son always tells me, Dad, that's not physics. It can't be firm and soft at the same time, but it can be, you know, when you engage your core and throw it, you have the ability to have touch on the football. but it's firm enough that it always gets there. And when you watch Jaden play, that's how he throws the football. There's plenty of velocity. It has no problem getting where it's going, but there's always an arc and there's always a touch in it, and it seems soft coming to his guy. When I'm talking about Caleb, and I was talking about it earlier, he's got some balls that just come off his hand like a rocket. And so when that happens, you're either on or you're off. Like, there is no margin for error when the ball's coming off 100 miles an hour. If you miss by a foot, you miss, because your receiver can't adjust to it. And Jaden throws an incredibly catchable ball. He's got great touch and great feel for the different throws. And it allows, you know, again, we talk about completion percentage. It allows the receiver to adjust a little bit when the ball is in the air and increase your ability to have, you know, a high completion percentage, as opposed to the quarterback having to be perfect and dropping it right on their receiver because they don't have that same feel. So there's a whole bunch of things that you have to like about the way Jaden is playing right now. But that's always one of my favorite things, is when a guy understands how to throw the different balls that he's throwing in a game, that simply just elevates them in my mind as a quarterback, because it's understanding, oh, do I have to put this one up and over a linebacker instead of waiting for my guy to get around a linebacker and then throwing it really hard? All of those different elements go into playing the quarterback position, and he's doing it really, really well.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate the spirited exchange, even though I haven't yet watched the All-22, nor was I a Hall of Famer, nor did I throw to Isaac Bruce and others. So thank you for the exchange, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you got it. It's Kurt Warner joining us right here on The Score. Yeah, I thought the sequence before halftime, I wanted Caleb to punch that in. He overthrew Rome Odunze in the end zone. And then he took a sack. There was a lot of time there where he did have DeAndre Swift in the flat. And then there's the odd overthrow to DJ Moore, where it looks like DJ kind of broke it down a little bit. He went outside and slowed down, so something was screwy there. And they got the field goal. I thought that was a moment where I'm like, Caleb here at home ending the first half. I wanted him to get six. And there were at least a couple negative plays there for Caleb, in my opinion.
That segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Let's talk with you. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to text or if you want to call. We will take your call on the Bears winning yesterday, or maybe what you thought about what Kurt Warner had to say. I got some thoughts on that too. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score, and not just kidding. Football.
Afternoons on The Score.
Meanwhile, here's Caleb Williams, who attended the same school you went to in USC. What have you seen these last couple of games?
Well, I think Caleb is still trying to find his way in this league. We know he's going to be a superstar.
Just casual, going to be a superstar. I don't know about you, Lawrence Holmes, but I thought that broadcast yesterday, it felt so connective, like no out-of-town stupid. Adam Amin feels like he's in the room with us, because last week he was.
Literally in the room with us.
Last week he was 8 feet to our left, talking about the prep in incredible detail. And so when he's broadcasting, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's our guy. That's our guy right there. And then Sanchez can relate to so many aspects of Caleb's challenge and has seen him so much already. It's like that felt very connective, and it almost felt like a home team broadcast, frankly.
It was great. And those guys, I don't think if you're watching the Rams as a Rams fan, I don't think you walk away going, those guys don't know what they're talking about the Rams, especially after Amin had called all of the Rams games.
Yes. Yeah.
He's
the Rams guy to
right.
them.
So you feel like you got a home call on both sides of this thing, mm-hmm. which is exactly what it should feel like. And you know how we all feel about Adam Amin, and you'll be able to check him out now on the new network, CHSN, will go live tomorrow, and Bulls games will be on CHSN, and Adam Amin and Stacey King will be on the call.
Pretty cool. Texter's a little upset with Kurt Warner.
Very.
I don't know if Kurt Warner's watching the Bears games, says one. Also, he's using it as free advertising for his son every week.
What's wrong with that?
He's just talking about how he talks about it. Here's another. This is making me feel horrible.
Here's what I would say, and we're going to take your, we want to let you talk on this, but here's what I would say.
Yeah.
The reason that we have people like Kurt Warner on is to fill in gaps for knowledge that we don't have. So I would say that if you can jump out of your feelings for just a second and know that Caleb himself doesn't need praise all the time, there's stuff in there that you can take and you can examine. You can say, all right, this is how Kurt Warner feels through four games of this experiment. Let me see if what he's saying is right the next time that you watch Caleb Williams play. And he did agree with what Spies and I were saying about the check down part of it, and that being growth. So try to pull the good out of what you heard and understand it's just a guy giving his opinion, but his opinion is based in two decades of playing football at the highest level.
Seems to know some stuff.
He really does, yep. And that's okay. And it's okay for you to be like, man, that's our guy, and our guy is getting better. Because I think that there is real evidence of that being the case. 312-644-6767 is the number. Uptown and Joey. Joey, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're good. What's up, man?
I'm pretty good. I told you guys last week, you know, with the new era, Spiegel and Holmes, we're 1-0. We're on the way up.
I agree.
The Dolphins might have to recork their champagne if we go 17-0 in the Spiegel and Holmes era.
Yeah, let me say rest in peace to Mercury Morris on that note.
But. Rest in peace for sure. I have a bit of a deeper, more philosophical question this week. Do we as fans need to check ourselves a bit?
How
like, are we letting this immediate gratification, no patience culture we have today feed into our sports opinions a little too much?
Yes.
I mean, the first 3 weeks of the season, whether it's national TV, local TV, podcast, social media, word of mouth, hear over and over again, the offense sucks, the OC sucks, the O-line sucks. And, like, I'm not just saying this because we won, and I'm not, like, some cranky old head, 26, so I'm not like, oh, yeah, it used to be better back then. But the way we jump on these guys so quickly, I just feel like it needs to be adjusted, you know? We shouldn't even have the thought in our mind that the Shane Waldron offense sucks until we get at least a year and a half in. I mean, Eberflus had the 32nd ranked defense his first year as head coach, and we all clowned him for it. And now I love this defense. Like, I love the personnel he's built, and it's so just interesting and unique. Like, we gave it some time to breathe. So I'm just wondering, are we right to jump on these guys every week? Like, is that our job as fans? Or should we be more loyal and patient? You know, because, like, maybe back in the day, the patience used to pay off.
Well, that's up to you. The loyalty is up to you. The patience, of course, is also up to you. And the beast that is NFL talk show, you know, machinery wants you to be very passionate and wants you to react. That's for sure. That said, no, you don't judge the Shane Waldron offense yet. He's supposed to be a guy who can adjust. Last week was super disappointing. This week felt a lot better. And it's a month. I mean, at the very least, you give it 7-8 weeks. You know, at the very, very least, you give it that. And it's okay to wonder what would have happened in a Texans game on a Sunday night if it was week 8 as opposed to week 2. You know, it's okay to wonder that. And it's also okay to look around and say, hey, this is a week-to-week lead. The Colts just beat the Steelers yesterday at their place. I mean,
and Justin Fields, I think, had what, almost 400 total yards.
Yeah.
And 3 touchdowns, and they still lost.
This is a week-to-week league, and you try to take everything with some perspective. The one thing I'll add to that is that the worst run defense in the NFL is now the Los Angeles Rams at 165.5. They are behind the Colts now as the worst run defense in the NFL. Good young defensive line, but those linebackers and safeties are blockable, and the Bears did what they needed to do.
I love their ends. Their ends are going to be really problematic for a long time. Got to get some guys in the defensive backfield who don't want to hold. Thomas is in Indy. Thomas, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So the question I have for you guys is maybe a bit of a foreshadowing question. And I'm not really – this isn't my personal opinion at the time. But between the, you know, the discipline of the team, how Matt Eberflus kind of throws his players under the bus, the O-line issues, and then, you know, the offense not looking the way it has right now, and there's some, you know, various opinions on Shane Waldron – and then Flus being retained, is there any chance in your guys' mind that Poles could be on the hot seat at the end of this season? Or Is he as safe as anyone? Is going to have another crack at another head coach if that does end up going that way this at the end of this season?
Can I say how much I love? Sorry, Lars. Can I say how much I love that one guy says, you know, I think we should be a little more patient, and then the next guy says, his poll's on the hot seat.
That's a of a leap on a Bears Monday after a win.
This is how it feels when there's one game a week and you get passionate about this stuff. I personally think that Ryan Poles gets another coach if this one goes south. I think he gets another coach.
I think you're probably right. And unless there's some sort of like disaster with this season where things don't look good and they aren't being managed well by Matt Eberflus, and that's a reflect. Because, I mean, there are things that one could look at and go, why is Velus Jones still on the roster? That Nate Davis signing looks really, really bad right now. So there are definitely things that you can point to and say, and if it looks like they didn't get the quarterback right, then yeah. But week four after a win is probably not the time where I'd be talking about having the general manager on the hot seat.
I will say, I thought Phil Emery was safe and was going to get another coach, and he didn't. You know, back-to-back 50 burgers with the break in between, you know, really did change that.
Let's go out to Norridge and talk with Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on the score.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys.
Steve.
So yesterday when I was watching the game, I noticed that, like, it was about the second quarter when Caleb Williams was in the pocket, and instead of moving outside or trying to scramble, he stood in there, and he looked like the pocket was closing in, and he took sacks that were negated by the defensive holdings.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I know, Matt, you said you haven't watched the All-22. Lawrence, I think you may have.
Not yet.
Are there short routes available for him? Not just to the running back, not just checkdowns, but something where he, like,
shorter developing routes where he could get the ball out faster.
It's a great question. It's a wonderful question because it does look like Caleb often is left holding the ball and looking way downfield while Stafford has wide open people crossing shallow across the midsection.
Multiple levels of routes that are crossing his face that he can get and that he understands how to get the ball out. I actually looked at those sacks with the holding calls as positives because it says to me that Caleb was looking in the right place and the defense just didn't do the right thing. And in he gets hit because of it, but I look at it as a positive.
Well, I think it's a great question, and I think the right answer that I'm comfortable saying is I don't know.
Good question.
It's a Bears Monday at 3:40. I don't know yet, but boy, is that a good question. And let's dig into it all week long and try to figure out how much does he get to have as options on shorter developing routes. How many guys are even going out? Sometimes it's only two people going out if they're in max protect and still
necessity.
Getting a pressure.
Yeah, 100% right.
So, but there is something, I think I said in the thread yesterday with us, there's something that looks very, very different about McVay's version of his offense and Shane Waldron's version of his offense, and I would like to figure out what that is.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, and you don't want to miss it. It's another episode of That's Montez next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on, so that's Montez.
Pressure on Stafford, who tried to find Parkinson. And look at Sweat. He's a monster. Getting big, knows it's going to be naked. Gets his big bare paw up there and tips that football. There's the angle. Look at that. They had an option in the flat with Parkinson, but big Montez Sweat is all over it.
Play. Montez Sweat knocked it free. Kyler Gordon comes out with it in Rams territory.
Well, watch Sweat. My question is, if that's your elite pass rusher, a guy who's led two franchises at one point last year with sacks, why are we blocking him with a tight end and a rookie receiver?
I felt disrespected, honestly, man, with a tight end on me. I did what I was supposed to do.
You're all that in a bag of chips.
So that's Montez.
Oh. That's why that show is number one.
My God. It's all the double entendres in there on that show. It's the writing that really makes That's Montez what it is. He knows it's going to be naked. It's getting big. And the crowd's like, oh.
Tanny, how long does it take you to do that?
To do an episode of That's Montez?
You know, when you enjoy every second of it, who's keeping track, you know?
I mean, well, first, Tanny, there's the writing of That's Montez, and then everybody's got to get together for the table read, right?
And it's so hard because people keep trying to poach the writers for That's Montez. They've gone on to bigger and better shows. Oh, I wouldn't say better. There are no better shows.
Hey, man, Living Color was great. Stop that. Okay, they all did very good work.
Speaking of which, Matt Eberflus with a 90s idiom, if ever we've heard one.
It's a 1 week league. You win a couple games and you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other thing. So it's water off a duck's back.
That's three in a row. I mean, water off a duck's back, I think he's using correctly. Nobody uses it anymore because nobody is 97 years old. But all that in a bag of chips, and then what's the thing in the middle? Then you're the other thing?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to think of whatever the opposite is to all that and a bag of chips. So what is the opposite to that? What's opposite of no chips?
No chips.
None of that and
no chips.
And a tube of chips, like Pringles. I don't know.
It's a 1 week league. You win a couple games and you're all that and a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other things.
Chip draft, real quick. We'll go around the room.
Oh, God, it's exciting.
Specifically potato chips. We can't branch out into tortilla chips. Let's go brand and flavor. Shane, I'm start with you.
Miss Vicky's spicy dill pickle. Not even a question. Miss Vicky's spicy dill pickle.
I can see Tanny is struggling with his choice.
No, I'm not struggling. When did we just did this?
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Lawrence.
I was on a different show.
You were on a different show. And I think you were recovering.
I think my chip changed too. I think I have a
Your chip has changed since we did this last.
Let's do it.
That's a tease.
Go There's ahead, no kink shaming. No kink shaming here. If your chip changed, that's fine. Just tell me how to refer to you. I would go. I'm going to have to go. The Ruffles cheddar and sour cream.
It's a good choice.
I'm a big fan.
Yikes.
I'll go Jay's barbecue.
Okay. Jay's barbecue. Yeah.
Jay's barbecue chips.
White bag with the red bottom.
You know it.
Yeah, of course I do.
You know it.
Of course.
Tanny.
Now, previously I had said the Utz crab chip.
Oh, I remember that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But today,
what a weirdo answer.
As Ryan Portz will tell you, he said, I had a new barbecue chip that I was eating today, Great Lakes Michigan Cherry, which I found in my
Wow.
It's a delicious.
Really? A cherry barbecue chip?
That's right, folks.
There's
That's
a lot going on.
Great Lakes Michigan Cherry.
A little sweet in there, too?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, baby, you all that in a bag of chips.
What is that from?
That's Montez.
That was from Eberflus's guest shot on That's Montez.
This is why you can't even joke about stuff to tell Chris Tannehill. Because I was like, Tanny, there's got to be all sorts of like 90 references to. And he's
all
like,
that in a bag of chips.
And he just kind of looked at me like, idiot, I know. I'm going to find it.
Was that from Martin? What was that from?
That was the Fresh Prince.
Oh, it's amazing.
You're all that in a bag of chips.
Oh, baby, you all that in a bag of chips.
And then you're the other thing, which is none of that and a bag of crap. I got to assume that's what
you
are.
We don't have to go all the way to a bag of crap. Well, just no chips.
Then you're the other. You're the other thing.
You're just not going to get any chips.
Shane Waldron was the other thing. Last week.
Why don't we can go out?
Shane Waldron loves baked Lays with no flavor.
Yeah. Maybe. That's all right. Sean is out in Romeoville. Hey, Sean, you're on the score.
There's no chip shaming. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. I think you guys are going to be great together. Just wanted to say that really quick. Good pairing. Really quick. No disrespect to Mr. Warner, but, I mean, man, that guy rolled out of bed with Hall of Famers all around him. I know he paid his dues before he got to the NFL, but I think a lot of what he had to do was simply made easier for him by what's around him. And in some ways, maybe the league has passed him by because the game has changed and the way quarterbacks are taught has changed. But anyway, I think from, you know, Spiegel, you know I was a Justin guy, but I really like this kid, Caleb, and I think what we've seen in four games is a kid who's growing every week. I mean, it's just his fourth game, but, you know, he seems to be able to, if nothing else, kind of take control of the offense. You know, he didn't make many mistakes yesterday. Like you said, Spiegel, he's utilizing a quick game, taking the check downs. I think he's only going to get better in spite of who's calling the plays for him. So, you know, again, no disrespect to Mr. Warner.
What happens, though? People say no disrespect, Sean, and then they go on to disrespect.
That's kind of what you did, though, right? Not necessarily.
I think you kind of did it.
It's kind of like the
a little bit.
The Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, that being said. You know, once you say that being said, then you can completely reverse your opinion and everything's totally fine.
And I'll just go over the resume again, just in case you needed it. 2-time MVP, Super Bowl MVP. I don't really have to say anything else other than that.
No, but if anybody wants to get specific, and I know where Sean's coming from, when Kurt did it in Arizona, was it Ken Wisenhunt? After it didn't work in New York, I mean, I'm a big believer in seeing the quarterback do it in a completely different place with a different infrastructure and completely different talent.
4,600 yards.
That playoff game that he and Aaron Rodgers had against each other, one of the great playoff games I've ever seen. I mean, that dude, he brought him to the Super Bowl. So yeah, Kurt doing it a second time was impressive, and I love the way he thinks about it. But he is a big believer in where he is. And to back up Sean a little, Tim Jenkins on a different show that you once did disagreed with Kurt Warner about some of the big picture stuff.
And I think that Tim Jenkins is really good at his job, too. I think that it's all right for there doesn't have to be consensus. I think you take what the experts say and you kind of put it together and see if you see what they see. I think it's fair. Whether we're talking about Tim or Kurt or people getting mad when Sean King was out here telling us what he saw between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, there's a lot in there. But I don't try to take away from what that guy has accomplished, and he's clearly still doing the job at a high level. So that to me is important. Like, I don't want to denigrate someone who is putting in the work of being prepared for the segment.
You know the play we were talking about, the Caleb Williams miss to DJ Moore when it looked like DJ kind of broke it down a little bit down the right side? That is among the sound bites we will hear from Matt Eberflus discussing that very play. You'll hear from Flus and from Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, all part of Mark Grody's Bears report. That's next on Spiegel & Holmes here on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.